Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. Today's guest, I'm honored as one of the great coaches of Louisiana, has been in coaching for over 40 years. Coach Frank Gandusa, who's now the current head coach of St. Martin's High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. And if you're hearing this podcast statewide and you're not familiar with Coach Gandusa, he's been coaching a long time. He spent 13 years in Fort Worth, Texas, prior to coming back to Louisiana. He's in his third year at St. Martin's High School, and he coached at Newman High School for a long time, too. He was the head coach for Eli Manning and also the offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning and Cooper Manning. And, Coach, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Coach, you've had an interesting career, and let's first of all, I want to start about welcome back to Louisiana now, your third year. I know you were what made you go to Fort Worth? You were there for 13 years at a school called Country Day in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah, it was, my first 2 years of coaching, I was at John F. Kennedy High School in New Orleans, and then I got the job at Newman. And worked for 23 years there, 11 of them as the head coach, and the other 12 as an assistant under Coach Tony Reginelli. And I just really enjoyed my time, while I was at Newman. And then after 23 years, you sort of want to try to find out if you can go somewhere else, get a program going, and get things moving. And took a job at Fort Worth Country Day in Fort Worth, Texas, a school about the same size as Newman, independent school, so I knew the kind of lay of the land, and spent 13 years in Fort Worth and loved every minute of it. Had some couple of real successful years. We won a conference championship twice in 2010 and again in 2016. Went into a program that was the last 3 years at Fort Worth Country Day. They were 1-9. Took us about 5 years to rebuild, and then won a title 5 years later, going undefeated. But the main thing was I started a program with about 35 kids when I went to Fort Worth Country Day, and we built that up to 70 or 75 kids playing with the same number. So yeah, it was quite an experience.
You know, I love Fort Worth, Coach. I've been to Fort Worth 3 times, and I've got some friends in Fort Worth. We had the head coach from Aledo, Texas on earlier this year, Aledo High School. And I know you're familiar with Aledo.
Well, Aledo was a 4 or 5A powerhouse. I mean, every year they were in the state championship game. They play real quality football in Texas. They take it seriously at all levels, from Pee Wee to the Dallas Cowboys. Texas is football country.
We also had a quarterback on this year. You know the high school in Fort Worth, All Saints?
I certainly do. Aaron Beck is one of my friends. We went conference together.
Okay.
Matter of fact, spoke to him not too long ago. And, they have a nice program over there.
Yeah, the quarterback came on earlier this year. He's committed to Michigan State. And just to give people an idea, you know, all levels of high schools in Texas, it seems like kids go D1. And those private schools, Coach, am I right or wrong saying this? Even the small TAPS programs in Texas, they're all super talented. I mean, it's something in Texas where all those teams have tons of talent.
That's exactly right, Lee. I mean, there are just a ton of athletes in Texas. And Texas is a big state. You know, when we look at, you know, here in Louisiana, where we have a few hundred, you know, high school teams playing football, they have 1,000.
Yeah.
They just are a plethora of talent that comes out of that state year in and year out.
We're going to take a quick break. Coach, hang on to the line. We're going to come right back. I'm going to ask you about your time at Newman High School, if you've got any stories you'd like to share. I know there was a lot of you've been quoted in the past saying that Cooper Manning was a big jokester when you coached at Newman. And maybe if you have any stories to share with us. And we're going to get to your school, St. Martin's High School, and promote your kids and talk about the good job that y'all were doing this year. Went to the playoffs this year. You even scored 60 points in one of your games this year against a quality opponent, Varnado. I was able to see that game and also your game against Fisher. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. We'll have more with Coach Frank Gendusa from St. Martin's High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen, and today's guest is Coach Frank Gendusa, the head coach at St. Martin's High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. Small private school. And, Coach, before we get to St. Martin's and your players and what you're doing currently, talk about, is there any stories that stick out when you were the offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning and Cooper Manning and obviously the head coach when Eli was there?
Those were some great years. You know, the Manning family in general is just a great family. You know, it starts with Archie and Olivia. They were very supportive of their boys. And, you know, they never interfered or did anything. They let their kids go through school, enjoy what they were doing and playing football. And I was very fortunate not to have one, but two really good Manning quarterbacks and then a brother who was an exceptional receiver for us all of those years. Although we tried to make Cooper a quarterback when he was a freshman, and that didn't quite work out for us.
You know, a lot of people don't talk about Cooper, but, Coach, just so that the people currently know about him, and I watched him play and you coached him, but he was a heck of a receiver, a big, tall receiver that could run before his career ended in injury at Ole Miss. What do you think he would have became if he wouldn't have – his career wouldn't have ended? I mean, he was a big-time receiver.
He did a wonderful job for us. I remember his senior year, I think Tate was sophomore that year, and Coop had 70-something catches, I don't know, a hand, you know, 10 touchdowns or whatever it was. But he had a real knack for getting open. He wasn't the most fleet of foot by any means, but he knew how to get open. And he was sort of a Biletnikoff kind of receiver. You know, I guess I'm old school and I can – I can, you know, relate back to those names, but he could really catch the ball. I mean, he got open, you know, he was Peyton's favorite target, and he did just a wonderful job. The sky was the limit for him. It's a shame, you know, that he had that spinal problem, and but I'm glad they caught it early, you know, enough so he didn't get hurt with it.
Yeah, and speaking of old names, you would appreciate this. Abramowitz is another one, and Steve Largent. So I'm with you, Coach. Those old
I appreciate it because I say sometimes I'll say a name to my team and they go, Coach, who are you talking about? And I just go, okay. Yeah, exactly.
I was that crazy kid, Coach, in 1974. I was 4 years old, and you would love this. My dad was a coach. And by the time I was 4 years old, I had all the football cards in the country, and I was memorizing the players before I got to kindergarten. And my dad would say, he'd turn the TV on, and he'd tell my uncle, because they would always bet on the games or, you know, bet who would win. And I remember the Dallas Cowboys and the Steelers were in one of their two Super Bowls. And they were asking me, well, tell us who the D-line is. And I said, well, Mean Joe Green, Greenwood, Mel Blunt, you know, Donnie Shell. And my uncle's like, how old are you, kid? I said, 4 years old. He said, unbelievable.
Yeah, the steel curtain, man. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Roger Staubach with the Dallas Cowboys. And I was talking the other day. People look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you remember this, Coach, and you can talk this with me. Your players wouldn't remember, probably, or they wouldn't know. But they talk about currently Tom Brady, obviously, and then Brad Johnson and Booger McFarlane when they won a Super Bowl. But I always tell people, I say, well, remember when Doug Williams was the quarterback for Tampa Bay? And James Waddle was the running back? And they're like, what? Who? You know, and I'm like, never mind.
Well, you know, Doug Williams was also the head coach at Northeast.
Right.
In Baton Rouge, the year we lost to him in the state quarterfinals. That was Peyton Senior last year.
I forgot about that. Yeah, he was. He was.
Yes, indeed. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then he ends up winning the Super Bowl for the Redskins later in his career. And I was always a big Doug fan because the Dallas Cowboys would keep beating the Buccaneers in the championship games. And it's the twilight of his career, you know, and then he gets on with the Redskins, all's happy for him, and he's still with the Redskins to this day in personnel. Coach, talk about the differences with high school football today than when you were in it in the 80s and 90s, back in the days when you were at Newman and now? What do you think has changed? You know, obviously COVID's something that's changed the world with athletics trying to – every day is a new day, right? But what do you think has changed the most about high school football in the last 30 years, in your opinion?
Well, you know, it's you know, everything changes, and I think to be successful, you have to keep your sort of philosophies that you really believe in, but you have to change the way you go about achieving them and about carrying them on. You know, I look back at college coaches over the years, and the ones who have had longevity that have coached for a lot of years, the key to their success was, can you make the adjustments or the changes to the times that you're in? Yeah. And I think when I look back, and I look back at an older coach in college, in Bear Bryant, who went through those years of segregation and then the integration and then all of the going from, you know, bringing black players into school at a university that was on the nation's mind because of the segregation that was going on. And being able to work through all of those times to get where you are, it just takes a person who can make adjustments. It's different, you know, to say the generation that I played in the late 60s and the early 70s, and compare it to the generation now, so many things have happened to change kids, which the most of all has been technology. Yeah. And trying to deal with the social media that we have to deal with right now as administrators and coaches at schools has been the biggest challenge.
And not only that, you know, I look at it when I started getting, when I was playing high school football coach in 1987 and 88 and 89 and running track, me personally, when I played football, we didn't throw the ball but maybe three times a game. You know, and I don't remember anybody throwing it five times a game back in the late 80s.
Yeah, it's you know, the game has evolved, you know, and I don't see a whole, you know, people say, you know, well, this thing, we had the West Coast offense, and then we had the spread and the air raid, and all of these offenses from, you know, the wishbone to, you know, the T formation back in the Notre Dame game. But if you look at football, you know, as long as I have, especially at the high school level, things have sort of gone full circle all the time. You know, you have those teams that are run-oriented teams, and they're successful in the playoffs. And then you have those teams that can really throw the ball, like the teams that just played in that Class A or Division IV final, you know, Wichita Christian and Calvary Baptist. I mean, they threw for like 800 yards. I mean, and it's mind-boggling what can go on. But the game has evolved, and what you have to do, or what at least I try to do as a coach year in and year out, is that I would love to be able to sit back and stay in an offense or a defense, and I can bring in my players that fit those spots. I don't have that luxury, and most, you know, Class A schools don't. You have to sort of adjust your offensive and defensive philosophies around your personnel, because sometimes just guys don't fit. I mean, what happens if I'm a spread team, and then I all of a sudden I really don't have a quality enough quarterback to be able to execute that? Right. Well, I'm going to be three and out, and I'm going to be on defense all game long, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to struggle because I'm going to give the other team the ball 100 times. But then maybe I have the running game this year. The whole key to it, once again, comes down to adaptability and figuring out what your players can do and then work your philosophies around them.
Our guest is Coach Frank Gendusa, the head coach of St. Martin's High School, currently in New Orleans, Louisiana, longtime coach, over 40 years of coaching experience at Newman for several years, and was in Texas for 13 years at Country Day in Texas in Fort Worth, but was at Newman when the whole Manning family played. And Coach, I see Arch Manning play. I went to the Riverside game this year, and I saw him last year play as a freshman, and it's so scary the way he looks, you know, just like Cooper, but he's got a lot of his grandfather's athletic ability, it seems, you know, and he's got a little bit of Peyton's mindset. It's where do you think he's at compared to where Peyton and the grandfather Archie and you know the whole family there? But he's just got so much talent. He's handled it so well. You know, he's handled the attention very well.
I've watched him play a few times too. Actually, had a chance because Coach Stewart played for me.
Yeah.
At Newman. He was captain of the football team the first year I took over as the head coach. And Coach Stu and I have been friends for a long, long time. We talk a lot, 3, 4, 5 times a week. I got during the summer, I even went and saw him do some 7-on-7 out at St. Charles Catholic. I'm telling you, when he was standing, and I went to the Country Day Newman game this year, was played at Yenny, and I got a chance to see it there. But you're just watching him stand on the field, I am telling you, you hit the nail on the head when you said he looks just like Cooper. He has mannerisms like Cooper. The way he stands, the way he sort of gates back to the huddle. But you're right. He does have that ability to run around a lot like Archie did. So he's carrying two different packages. You know, Coach Stewart right now, you know, he's a spread kind of guy. I think this year he realized he did a great job with his running game, which I thought helped his passing game. But Little Arch has all of the tools to be really successful as a quarterback. He seems to be able to see down the field. And, you know, one of the real unique things I think a quarterback has to have, one of those abilities, is being able to see through linemen. A lot of kids, you know, they see people in front of them, and that's what they see. And they're not able to really see downfield. Mm-hmm. Good quarterbacks learn how to not only see through them, but feel them. Yeah. And are able to look right through and see what's going on downfield. I mean, I was impressed with Little Arch, just that he was able to check off his first look and his second look and come back and throw to his third guy. That is extremely difficult for people who quarterback and not a quarterback, and he just does it sort of naturally. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Coach. Finish. I'm sorry about that.
Quarterbacking has become such a science now. It's such a mental game and everything. I'm telling you, it's a job. And if you're going to be a quarterback, you have to really work at it. And that's one of the things that the Mannings did. They were all exceptional hard workers to be good at what they wanted to be at.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Coach. His progressions is A+. He's already progression, like you said. His reads are already college level. As a sophomore, where guys are sophomores in college trying to figure out progressions. I mean,
exactly.
That's crazy. You know, but Coach, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. I want to go over, because they're both New Orleans teams, but go over the two state championships, get your opinion of it when we come back, and then talk about St. Martin's after that. We're going to be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has 3 dealerships, which means 3 times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen, and our guest today is head coach Frank Gendusa, the head coach at St. Martin's High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. Coach, Edna Carr, and I'm sure you followed this, they had a chance to win 5 state championships in a row yesterday, played Karen Crow, and they lost for the first time in 5 years in a state title game. You know, everybody has that day, you know, and you've seen it as a coach. 35-19, Karen Crow has over 30 seniors. It was one of their best teams, I think their best team ever in the history of the school. But what's your thoughts on that 4A championship for Karen Crow over Edna Carr? You got to be a great team to beat Edna Carr, where it's got, you know, what, 10, 15 D1 seniors every year.
There is a ton of talent on the West Bank. I can tell you that right now, because they have been exceptional over the last year. Well coached. The kids work hard. You can see that they've done their work in the weight room and to get fit to play. You know, sometimes you don't have your A game, and it doesn't show up, and the other team is really good, and you know, you just it just happens. They match up with you better than maybe some other teams have in the past, and you just have one of those games. But, you know, from what I'm looking at, you know, they lost to a pretty quality football team, and they have nothing to be ashamed of. I can assure you that. I think every coach is envious of being able to be there 5 years in a row. And that's just an incredible feat.
Congratulations to Karen Crow, coach. They went 11-1 in one of the, you know, 5A football on the public side, which is the hardest in the state to go 11-1. The best record in the history of their school for Karen Crow. That's a lot to say when they had Kevin Falk and, you know, all the great players that have come out of that program. And in the other game, in Division Four on the private side, Landry Liddy, you would love this, coach. Like you said yesterday, Calvary Baptist beat Ouachita Christian for the state championship. Calvary Baptist out of Shreveport. Ouachita Christian was trying to go for two state championships in a row under Coach Fitzhugh, a good friend of mine. And then Landry Liddy, the junior quarterback, coach, he's 6'1", 190, he's a junior, threw for 464 yards and set an all-time championship record in the LHSA, the most passing yards ever in a state title game. And like you said, they combined for like almost 800 yards of offense between the two teams. It's crazy, huh, coach?
Well, you know, we faced him in that first round. We had to go up and play Calvert Baptist.
That's right.
We were, man. He is a quality quarterback. He is another one of those guys. Big kid. He's got good size. He can not only throw the long ball, but he's really accurate on the short passes. He's going to make somebody happy another year, whatever school he decides to go to, because he's a really good quarterback. He's one of the best ones I've played against, and seen in my years. He rates up there with the top quarterbacks that I've seen. He's a real talent for him. And, you know, against us, I mean, we were one of those teams that was just trying to shorten the game by making some first downs and running the ball and in the first half, and we did a pretty good job of that for almost the whole first half, but we couldn't stop them. I mean, every time they scored, fortunately for us, we only gave them three possessions with about a minute and 50 left in the first half. We were down 21-0 and then gave up two quick touchdowns. We fumbled, they picked the ball up, ran it for a touchdown, and hit us on a long pass. Yeah. But they can score from any position on the field at any time.
Yeah, and Coach, I was wrong about my total yards. It was 1,036 yards total, and 103.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
And you know what's crazy. You know what's scary, Coach Gunduz, is that Calvary Baptist had more talent on their team last year, so they won it with a new quarterback. This was his first year to start, which is crazy.
Sometimes it clicks that way for you.
Yeah. And the other team, obviously, Ouachita Christian senior quarterback Hunter Herring is going to ULL as a quarterback. Could be in a tight end, I think, too. 6'4", 220. Ouachita Christian's won several state championships. I know they'll probably be back again because they're young. And Calvary Baptist, coach, 90% of their team are underclassmen. Do you have them on your schedule?
Tell me about it. We went and played them in the playoffs, and I told Coach we were coming up there, and we were shorthanded. Look, on our best day to go up there and play that football team and play them close, you would have to get a ton of breaks to even stay close. But I went up there. We had 10 players out. I had COVID out. I went up there and played them. I played them with – I dressed out 20 kids.
Oh, no. Wow.
And they came out with about 65 or 70 kids. And but I will tell you, Coach Ryan again does a great job there. He was a real coach. I mean, look, that the score that we put up there was that score could have doubled. I mean, if he wanted to, he got ahead of us. He knew that we were shorthanded. The second half, he played most of the second group for us, which kept the game a little closer than normal. But they could have scored a lot more points against us. And I got to give Coach Rodney a shout out because he did the classy thing.
Classy.
And
I
appreciated that.
Yeah, and like you, Coach, he coached a famous quarterback, Dak Prescott, at Houghton. So, I mean, he's got
him and I had a long conversation about that before the game on that night.
Yeah, and he's a great guy. I like him a lot. He's always been real good to us. And, Coach, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your team and get your thoughts about. I'm going to talk about your seniors first when we come back, because you've got some unique seniors that I think can play college ball that are under the radar, and you've got, you've built this program up. You started with, I don't think, even 20 players on the team, and you've built it up to a lot more players for this year in your third year. We'll be right back. We're listening to Coach Frank Gendusa, the head coach of St. Martin's High School in New Orleans. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. We're going to continue our conversation today with head coach Frank Gendusa, the head coach at St. Martin's High School. Coach, you did a lot this year with your team and you know, made the playoffs like we talked about it. Y'all played Calvary Baptist, who just won the title. But you've got a unique senior group of kids. You got a young team. You got a chance to be really good next year. But I want to mention some of your seniors, and I saw these kids play for you. And I think they could go to some small schools, and some are maybe mid-level schools. But start with Eric Berthelot, an offensive lineman for you, 6'3", probably, what, 240 or 250. A very good-looking offensive lineman that could play at a small school somewhere.
Eric, you know, for being a small school, we did have a handful of linemen this year. So I think it was the first time in a while at a small school. I started off the season with 11 linemen.
Wow.
On a 30-man roster, which Wow. was – usually I have 30 wide receivers, but I had 11 decent linemen. And Eric did a real nice job for us over the last 2 years. Not only did he play our offensive tackle for us, our guard, wherever we need him moving, but he also played defensive end for us a lot. And he's just one of those raw, talented kids, hard worker, you know, hit the weight room, did all of this summer workout, and very quiet. You know, it was hard to pull words out of Eric, but he did a real nice job for us. Like.
And then, look, another kid, I think he's unique. I call him unique watching him on film. He's about 6'2", 220, and Monty Lewis, who's plays running back for you, and linebacker, DN, but he's coach. I've seen him put his foot in the ground and turn, and his hips. He's got great hips and can move really good for a big guy.
Oh, Monty's an excellent athlete. You know, he also plays basketball on the basketball team. This kind of athlete he is. He just had a great year for us. I think he finished fourth or fifth rushing this year in the metro area. You know, he had over 600 yards in a real short, I don't know, 5 or 6 games. I think he averaged 137 yards per game. He can cut, he has vision, but he's big enough to lower his shoulder pads and run behind his pads and get the short yardage. And then on defense, man, Rodney Ginn over at Calvary Baptist after that game went up to him. Monty played a great game, played on both sides of the ball. And, he's also a pretty good outside linebacker for us. He's a nice little talent. We're working on trying to get him in somewhere. Like you said, we get overlooked. You know, we're a small school. You know, Reckitt may not always be the greatest, but I do have a couple of kids that could play at that next level.
And you've got a very unique fullback. I nicknamed him Bull just watching him play. 6'1", 266. Jonathan, and I'll make sure I don't butcher the name. I don't want the mom calling me tomorrow. But
Castaneda.
Jonathan Castaneda, number 37. Coach, 6'1", 266, that's a heck of a fullback. And he runs deceptively pretty good for a big old guy.
Well, not only that, but, you know, he came off a knee surgery. Right after the season, the year before, we finished the season on Friday against West St. John, and he goes out for soccer on Monday, that following Monday, and tore his knee up at soccer practice.
No.
And it was a bad one. He went in ACL, the whole thing. They had to really go in and reconstruct. And he rehabbed that thing to get back to play for us. It wasn't until really almost the end of July or early August before he got cleared to really play for us again.
Wow.
But you're right. He's a big kid. He's Jonathan. You know, he could be one of the best athletes in our school, if not the best male athlete in school overall. Plays basketball if he wanted to. He played for a couple of years, didn't play last year because of the injury. He could, I mean, he plays on the baseball team. Of course, he's a football player, and he can run. For a big man, he could flat out run, and then he played our inside Mike linebacker and did a great job on the defensive side too. So, you know, he's a good kid. He's a good kid as it comes. You know, if you're talking about pure athleticism and being able to play at that size.
And a couple of I want to mention these seniors, Coach. I don't know if they'll play college ball anywhere, but just to mention them because they look like they really gave their all for you. Is number three, Chris Katinas, who was a receiver for you, really good hands, punter, kicker. Another kid, Gavin, number 33, Sparadone, 5'8", 190.
Yep, Sparandio, yeah. Uh-huh.
Tough kid for you, running back, linebacker. And, you know, William Salvago was a big lineman that would come in and play, get reps for you. Just want to mention your seniors. I think you guys deserve Christian Peavy, a cornerback for you. And you've got some guys that are young. Two brothers I like a lot, Skylar Shank and Sean Shank. They're both over 230 pounds. I know Skylar's 280, I think, and Sean's about 235, 6'3". But, and you've got some young guys, Chris Prophet, Kaheem Smith, also a guy named Seth Mandela. I mean, you got some good players. Your grandson, I can't leave your grandson out, number 27, Grant Gandusa, man, he's – he's a big old kid, 6'2", 235, only a sophomore, and he can get the run. He can run the ball as a fullback, linebacker for you, tight end, DN. But what do you think of your grandson? Let's brag a little bit on your grandson there too.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning Grant. Did a great job for us. He's been actually starting for me at St. Martin since he's an eighth grader.
Wow.
And he's progressively getting better. He's still young. He's got a lot to learn. He loves being in the weight room, so that's a good thing for him. And he's also on the basketball team, does a real nice job on the basketball team, him and Monty. So I'm looking forward to Grant, you know, having a really good year next year as a junior, along with the rest of his class. The sophomore class at school is for us this past year, who'll be juniors next year, has some really good kids in it. And then, as you mentioned, the Shank boys, you know, they sort of anchor our offense and defensive line, and both of them do a really nice job. I mean, Sean is not only a down lineman on defense and an offensive, he's a center, and he's also a long snapper. So, yeah. You know, if we lose Sean, you lose a lot of people. And you know, and Skyler was selected this year by his teammates as the best defensive player. So, you're right. We do have some really young kids. And then that young group that you really mentioned, those freshmen will be sophomores next year, Kaheem Smith and Chris Prophet. And there's a couple nice young linemen coming out of that group too. Dominic Hogan and Manny Bajarin. They're two nice linemen coming up along with Dylan Raines. So we have a nice base of kids. And then I have my little quarterback coming back. He's in the sophomore, will be a junior next year, and Matt Menino.
Yeah.
We got some kids that can play, and hopefully, you know, we're going to progressively get better. For me, it's numbers. So I have to try to get our numbers up. You know, I started with 19 3 years ago, and we were up to 31 this year. And I need to get between that 35 and 40 number in Class A to really be able to, you know, sub out some kids and give some kids a rep.
And let me mention these guys because we can hit the whole spectrum. I don't want to leave them out. But speaking of those sophomores, I was impressed by Timothy Roberts, who plays, you know, linebacker DB for you. Also Wyatt Powell, a linebacker for you. And you've got another kid that's going to be Garrett Devaney is another sophomore. And obviously we talked about Seth Mandela. But, Coach, just to help you out and to help the school out, if somebody's listening to this show, and this show goes all over the state, goes all over Texas and Mississippi, Georgia and Alabama and Florida, and there's a family moving to Louisiana and they hear this show and their kids play sports, what's a route that they can get in touch with the school, or who would they get in touch with if they hear this program to maybe enroll their kid at St. Martin's?
Well, you know, the first thing to do is if you're interested, you know, in St. Martin's Episcopal, which is a really great school academically, you know, it does have the little religious component to it, which plays such a really nice part. That spiritual part of being be in your school and having a chapel on campus really makes a difference in a lot of kids' lives. But contact me, Frank Chinduso, the athletic director. You're more than welcome to contact me. Or Will Fletcher. Mr. Fletcher handles all of our incoming students at admissions, along with Sally Uzi. And they will be more than happy to explain everything to you, from what our curriculum is to the possibilities of financial aid if it's need be. Everything. It is just a wonderful place to be in. It's a real warm setting, small school setting. If your child does really well in a small school setting, St. Martin's is the kind of place that would be for your son or daughter.
And Coach, is there an email you want to give out where they can email you or the other person you mentioned? Is there a good email to email?
Sure. Yeah. It's frank.gendusa@stmsaints.com.
And Gendusa's G-E-N-D-U-S-A, right, Coach?
That's affirmative.
You know, what have you enjoyed most about your 40 years of coaching, Coach? If you could reflect and just, you know, looking at your career at Newman and 13 years in Fort Worth, now at St. Martin's, your whole time. You went to, let me mention this, your alma mater. You went to high school, I want to mention this, at Warren Easton.
I'm a Warren Easton graduate. I'm an Eagle, purple and gold through and through. And if I had an opportunity to go back to high school right now, and I could go back with the same people I went with, I would go back to Warren Easton in a heartbeat. I love the Eagles. I still follow them right now. One of my coaches that I when I was there, Steve Costa, who's a longtime coach in the area. Steve started teaching there his first year out of Tulane. You know, he was probably 22 and we were 18. It wasn't a whole lot of age difference between us. And I've been friends with Steve Costa for a lot of years. And I was very fortunate to work for, I played basketball and I played for Alex Greekakis. The Greek taught me a lot about being a person and how to be successful, not only as an athlete, but to be a successful person in life. And, you know, coaches have such an influence on kids. And, you know, sometimes when you look at movies and you see all of that and the coach is portrayed as some goomba who doesn't care about anybody.
Yeah.
If you're in coaching and you're like that, I haven't seen any of those guys. I can assure you that the thing for me, the most fulfilling thing for me is to see kids go above and beyond what maybe even their abilities allow them to do. And with the discipline and hard work, become not only successful on our playing fields or in our courts or in our gyms, but when they graduate and they come back and they're really good people, you know, they have families and they become good people. And I think as a coach, that's the most satisfying thing. I mean, God knows that we're never going to be rich being coaches in high school. But that's not what you get into this field for. You get in, you love kids, you love what you're doing. And I can't remember a day that I don't mind getting up and going into work. Not one. And I can't say that probably if I asked all of my friends that are in very successful and in business and stuff, that they could say that.
Coach, I feel you about never getting rich being in this business.
I get up
loving covering you guys, you know, the football. And I want to mention Coach Costa. I got a story for you. When I started the magazine in 97, Louisiana Football Magazine, the first school I ever walked into in 1994 in New Orleans was Warren Easton. The first person I ever met was Coach Costa. And he had a walkie-talkie on his side, and he was going in 18 different directions, and he told me, he said, young man, I was 24 or 23 at the time. He said, look, sit right here in the office. I'm going to be right back, and then I'm going to take you to a tour of the school. I didn't even have a meeting with Coach Costa, Coach. Mm-hmm. He said, I want you to do whatever you can to help these kids, you know, whatever you can do, because I was doing radio at the time before I started the magazine. I was scouting. I was doing all kind of stuff with high schools. But he was such a gentleman, so professional. He was the first person I met, and he was incredible. And it's incredible that, you know, you brought him up today, but I'm glad you did. You know, one of the first people I met in the whole in business.
Well, you know, Lee, how I really got to know him when I was in high school was I was senior class president at Warren Easton, and Steve Costa and another lady, Ms. Solomon, were the senior class advisors. And that's how I really got to meet and know Steve Costa. And then, because he really didn't start coaching until the year after I graduated. And so, but I got to know him as a person. And like I said, we have been friends for 50 years now. Since then.
Wow. And look, tell all those youngsters that are listening, and we're getting old. I'm getting old. I'm 50. But when you, especially people that might be, you know, under 40, but Warren Easton, the history of Warren Easton football in the 50s and 40s, 60s, you know, even now, I know it's great now, but people forget about how good Warren Easton was back in the way back before a lot of our listeners even were born.
Oh, God, you know, the history goes way, way back into, you know, those World War II days. You know, Johnny Brechtel coaching, and there are great stories about during the war, Warren Easton came out to play. The Warren Easton-Jesuit rivalry years and years ago was the biggest football rivalry in the state.
Man.
And how Warren Easton came out in different uniforms. They came out in stars and stripes.
Wow.
You know, because of the war that was going on. I mean, you got to, you know, go back. One of the real historians in prep football is Ron Bricotta. And he's written a couple of books about prep. And, I mean, Ron knows all of those stories. But we loved it at Warren Easton, our rich tradition of, you know, going back and not only in football, but in the other sports. And at that time when I was in high school, basically every school played football, basketball, baseball, and ran track and field. And that was it. There wasn't a whole lot of other directions to go in.
Yeah.
But Warren Easton is a great school. If, you know, you drive by Canal Street, look at the school, it looks like a castle. Yeah. We loved that school. The kids loved it. And, it's, if you want to go back and look back at the history of high schools, Warren Easton will be mentioned a lot.
And I'm pulling for them to win a state title because they've come close to, it seems like they don't, as long as they don't play Edna Carr in the future in the state title game, I think they're going to win the next one.
They'll too, one of these days, going to match up well with them, and they're going to get it over the top. but they're doing a really nice job there with their kids, and it's really nice to see it being successful.
And Coach, good luck to you. Glad that you're back from Fort Worth after 13 years at St. Martin's Episcopal High School in New Orleans, and keep doing a great job. And I'm glad we're able to promote your kids today too, because like you said, you know, sometimes they don't get the recognition or exposure they deserve, and I'm glad we're able to get you on today statewide to promote those kids.
Well, Lee, I really appreciate it. I'm really enjoying my time, and I feel good, and I hope everybody stays healthy in this crazy time that we're in, and good luck to you, and Happy New Year to you and your group.
Yeah, Happy New Year, and late Merry Christmas to you and your family, and Happy New Year. I'm ready for 2021, Coach, I got to admit. I'm ready for
it. I think you and the other 350 million Americans and the rest of the people around the world, I believe, are, yeah.
Well, Coach, thank you a lot. And don't hang up. I'm going to end the show, but everybody go to LAFootballMagazine.com. St. Martin's Episcopal's in our preview issue, and we're going to have a lot on them this coming year. We'll be starting our 25th preview issue this coming August. 25 years, we'll do our 25th issue in August coming up. It's amazing. But we'll be back on Monday. I hope everybody has a great, happy new year in the state. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.